Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Happy-Go-Lucky by David Sedaris is a collection of semi-autobiographical essays published in 2022 and issued by Little Brown & Company. It continues Sedaris's long-running project of turning family life, social discomfort, travel aging, and everyday absurdity into sharply observed personal essays. The book is set against the backdrop of the late Trump years and the COVID-19 pandemic, but it is not a conventional political memoir. Instead, it uses those turbulent conditions as a lens for examining private life, especially Sedaris's relationship with his siblings, his partner Hugh, and his elderly father. The essays move between domestic scenes, public unrest, and eccentric errands, showing how humor can coexist with grief, irritation, and moral unease. Readers come to the book for Sedaris's precise comic voice, but the collection also offers a record of how personal identity changes when familiar routines collapse. Its purpose is less to argue a thesis than to register experience with wit, candor, and control. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, domestic conflict and the emotional friction of family relationships, a major strength of Happy-Go-Lucky, is its sustained focus on family as a source of both comedy and strain. Sedaris writes about siblings, long history, and the uneasy intimacy that comes from knowing one another too well. Rather than presenting family as comforting or redemptive, the essays show it as a site where affection, resentment, embarrassment, and loyalty overlap. This matters because Sedaris does not soften the tensions for sentimentality. He treats family dynamics as deeply revealing of personality. The way people joke, judge, and remember becomes a way of understanding who they are. The result is a portrait of kinship that feels credible because it is imperfect. The book also expands this pattern by showing how adult family relationships change under pressure from age and illness. In that sense, the essays are not simply anecdotes about relatives. They are studies in how long familiarity creates a language of conflict that still contains attachment. Secondly, the aging father as a test of memory, resentment, and obligation. One of the book's most serious threads is Sedaris's relationship with his elderly father. This material gives Happy-Go-Lucky much of its emotional weight because it pushes beyond quick comedy into unresolved family history. Sedaris approaches his father with a mixture of distance, obligation, and retrospective curiosity, asking not only what kind of man he was, but also how that man shaped the children around him. Aging alters the balance of power in the relationship, making the father both more vulnerable and still difficult to understand. That combination allows Sedaris to write about care without sentimentality. Caregiving becomes entangled with old grievances, awkward jokes, and the practical realities of decline. The essays gain force from this refusal to simplify. Instead of using age as a moral lesson, Sedaris shows it as a condition that exposes unfinished emotional business. The reader sees how family roles persist even when the people inside them are physically diminished. This is one reason the collection feels darker than some of his earlier work. Thirdly, pandemic and political upheaval as background to ordinary absurdity, Happy-Go-Lucky is shaped by the late Trump period and the COVID-19 pandemic. But Sedaris uses these conditions as context rather than as the sole subject. That approach is important because it keeps the essays grounded in lived experience instead of converting them into opinion pieces. Public crisis enters the book through altered routines, social unease, and the sense that normal life has become unstable. Against that backdrop, Sedaris continues to notice the banal and ridiculous errands, travel, household habits, and small social encounters. The contrast between large-scale disturbance and tiny personal observations is central to the book's method. It suggests that history is not experienced only through headlines, but through practical discomfort, awkward conversation, and changes in behavior. Sedaris also uses these conditions to sharpen his tone. His wit often becomes a defense against confusion, yet the essays never fully deny the seriousness of the period. Instead, they show how people cope when public catastrophe interrupts ordinary self-presentation. The result is a collection that records a specific historical moment without losing its comic sensibility. Fourthly, humor built from discomfort, pettiness, and moral ambivalence. Sedaris's style depends on making readers laugh at situations that are often uncomfortable, and Happy-Go-Lucky continues that tradition with unusual control. The essays frequently draw humor from misanthropy, embarrassment, or the author's own irritability, but the effect is not simple self-parody. Instead, the book shows how comedy can emerge from honest exposure of ugly or petty feelings. That is one reason the collection feels distinctive. It does not hide the narrator's flaws in order to preserve likability. Sedaris often allows himself to appear vain, stubborn, judgmental, or eccentric, and that self-revelation creates tension between amusement and discomfort. The book also demonstrates how carefully shaped language can transform material that might otherwise feel merely mean. A minor annoyance becomes a scene of social observation. A rude impulse becomes a reflection on human behavior. At the same time, the humor is not detached from ethics. some essays test the limits of what can be joked about in public life, which gives the collection a sharper edge and invites readers to think about the relationship between comedy and tact. Lastly, expanding beyond private memoir toward social observation and public life. Although Happy-Go-Lucky remains rooted in personal essay, it reaches outward more than some earlier Sidaris collections. The book includes reflections on social unrest, race, generational tension, and the broader atmosphere of contemporary American life. This widening of scope is significant because it shows Sidaris testing how his private voice functions in public settings. He is still most effective when writing from intimate experience, but the collection indicates a desire to connect individual habits of thought to larger cultural shifts. That move creates both strengths and limitations. On one hand, it prevents the book from becoming a closed domestic memoir and gives it historical texture. On the other hand, the essays sometimes reveal the risks of a highly personal, ironic voice entering political terrain. Even so, the attempt is meaningful because it shows Sidaris refusing to remain in a purely familiar register. The book becomes more than a set of comic recollections. It also becomes an attempt to understand what happens when private sensibility collides with public crisis. This broader frame helps explain why the collection feels transitional while still fully recognizably Sidaris. In conclusion, Happy-Go-Lucky will appeal most to readers who value personal essays that combine comic timing with emotional unease. It is especially suited to those who already appreciate David Sidaris for his exact phrasing, social discomfort, and willingness to turn private embarrassment into literary material. Readers interested in family dynamics, aging parents, pandemic-era reflection, and the tension between humor and bitterness will find substantial material here. The book also offers a useful example of how essay collections can document a historical moment without becoming rigidly topical. Its real distinction lies in the way it keeps shifting between laughter and discomfort, making even small incidents feel revealing. Compared with similar memoir-driven essay books, it stands out for its precision of voice and its refusal to resolve contradiction too neatly. Sidaris does not offer a therapeutic model of recovery or a polished moral lesson. Instead, he gives a highly controlled account of what it feels like to remain observant, annoyed, affectionate, and unsettled at the same time. That combination gives the collection both its readability and its staying power. If you would like to support David Sidaris, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.